Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. A rather familiar text for this season. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. From this text, I want to remind us of the wise men's example. The wise men's example. Do you know there are any number of people who can go through this entire Christmas season with very little encounter with Jesus? There are those who are more occupied with Santa Claus and gift giving and gift receiving and some of everything except Jesus. Are you aware of this? I come to this text to remind us that these wise men, NIV call them Magi, both the wise men of the King James Version and the Magi of the New International Version, are referenced to scientists, astrologers, people who study the stars. Don't get excited about Magi versus wise men, they are scientists. But as I look at their life in this piece of Holy Scripture, I could not help but discover that more important than finding a star, they found Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people who've never found Jesus. Not only did they find him, but after they found him, they worshiped him. They didn't worship Mary. Read the text. They worship him. And after they worshiped him, they obeyed the will of the Lord in going home another way. Now, you would have to understand some of the background here. Herod, the reigning king of this area, has become so paranoid and insecure that he wants to know where is this Jesus, because he fears that this Jesus will become the king that removes him from his seat. And so he wants to find out where Jesus is at so he can kill him. And when he couldn't find this Jesus, he gives a genocide order, kill all the babies in town. That's the reason why Mary and Joseph are running to Egypt. And thank God these wise men obeyed the Lord's instruction to go home another way. But their finding, worshiping, and obeying caught my preaching attention. So much so that I've come to suggest that we should work on finding, worshiping, and obeying the Lord. What is the pastor talking about today? He's talking about how we should work on finding, worshiping, and obeying the Lord. They found the Lord. This is a key point. They were not satisfied having audience with Herod, the leader. They were not satisfied with being noted scientists of the area. Nor were they satisfied with simply finding Mary. I am impressed by the fact they found Jesus. I have been in church all of my life, believe it or not. And I have seen people who have found some of everything in church except Jesus. There are people who have found the building. There are people who have found their favorite seat. There are people who have found their favorite preacher or their worst preacher. They have found their favorite choir members, their favorite song. They have found their favorite usher, their favorite deacon. They found their favorite outfit. They found their favorite activity. Found some of everything except Jesus. Isn't that sad? To come to the Lord's house and never find the Lord. Does this describe your situation? Oh, how I pray as we go through what may very well be the last holiday season we all go through together. It is my prayer that you found the Lord. Your attendance here is not conclusive evidence that you have found Jesus. You can be in the house and never meet him. And so I pray and I press you to find him as savior of your life. Not just the genie in the lamp. Don't just find him as the one you make wishes of and he supplies all of your needs. Meet him as savior. Old folk used to say, he's my dying bed maker. Meet him as the one who takes some of that fear out of death. For it is he who will allow us to cross over, mama and them would say, Chili Jordan at come time. Find him as savior. Because I promise you this, death has an appointment with you. And when death comes, you and I will find out afresh that none of us have lived well enough to be right with God. I don't care how often you come to the house, if all you got going for you is attendance, you're going to be in trouble when death come knocking on your door. Take a bow, pat yourself on the back for getting over terrible smoking, drinking, chasing habits. Praise the Lord. But for every sin you've knocked down, there are still sins that remain. And you must have heard by now, to breach or break one law makes you a lawbreaker. There is none righteous. No, not even one. Not even one means you not right. I'm not right. Folks sitting around you not right. But death is coming down this track. And you better make sure you have found this baby as savior of your life. Can I tell you? It is his blood that washes us whiter than the snow. Can I tell you, he died and paid for the sins of the world if you would only find them by faith. Listen, death is coming, ready or not. And the only thing that can really make you ready for your date with death is to find this baby as savior of your life. But then you ought to find him as Lord of your life. You ought to find him as master. You ought to find him as director. You ought to find him as the one who is in charge. If you are flying your own plane, you're going the wrong way. You're going to the wrong destination. You don't have enough sense to fly your own plane. You don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. And today is the first day you saw today. But this baby is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's been to and came back from where you trying to go. He is a much better pilot of the plane of your life than you could ever be. He has more experience behind the wheel. He has more experience going through stormy weather. If you are the Lord of your life, if you are the ruler of your destiny, then your destiny are in terrible hands. But I got good news. I got some marvelous hands to put your destiny in. It's in the hands of this baby called Jesus. You ought to find him as Lord of your life. Now let me let you in on a secret. When he's running things, he doesn't always lead you around stormy weather. Sometime when he's in charge, he leads you into stormy weather. So you can learn that he's not just God of calm times, but he's God of stormy weather. And the only way you can know him as a storm keeper is you got to go through some stormy weathers. When he's in charge, when he's Lord of your life, you may cry sometimes. But you'll also discover he's a teardrop wiper. Your burdens might get heavy, but you'll discover he's a heavy load sharer. You really ought to find Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. And while you're in the neighborhood, you might as well take a bite of this bread we talk about around here. He is the bread of life. And what good is bread without some water to drink? He's living water. If you feel empty on the inside, if your soul is thirsty for purpose and power and joy, you ought to eat this living bread. You ought to drink this living water. You ought to find this Jesus. He can satisfy the cravings of your life. He can do more for you than a raise on your job will do. He can do more for you than a spouse on your arm can do. He can do more for you than the things of this world. He's living bread, he's living water, and he's available to be found. He gives you purpose for living. He helps you wake up in the morning, even when you know there's a fight to be fought in the day. He gives you power to climb over high mountains. He doesn't move all of the mountains, but he gives you strength to climb over high mountains, and he goes with you over the mountain. He doesn't just stand at the top of the mountain and say, come on up here. No, he comes down with us and he takes every step with us. You need to find this Jesus. You live beneath your privilege to come to his house time after time and know more about the preacher than you know about Jesus. You live beneath your privilege to know more about the choir's playlist than you know about the Lord. You live beneath your privilege to know more about church decorum, what to do, what not to do, what to wear, what not to wear. But you know more about church decorum than you know about Jesus. You ought to get to know him, because death is coming. You ought to get to know him because he can give you joy on your journey. Aren't you tired of being so sad and so despondent? There's joy in Jesus. But you got to find him. Now, the good news is he's not hard to find. He's right here in his house. But if you're not careful, you'll pay Mary more mind than you pay Jesus. You'll give Joseph more attention than you give Jesus. You'll be more concerned about the tax being levied by the civil authorities than you are about Jesus. Don't come to the house and miss the Lord. And if all I had going for me, if my only means of assessing, do you know him, was what you say, I would have moved on by now, because everybody here would say, I found him. I found him, Reverend. But when I look at how we deal with stormy weather, it doesn't look like we know he's a storm stopper. When I look at how despondent we can be on the journey, it doesn't sound like, it doesn't look like you know that he gives you joy on your journey. When I see how empty our lives can feel, the preacher in me say, do you know that he's living bread? Do you know he's living water? Your journey don't have to be so hard. Your nights don't have to be so terrifying. Your days don't have to be so dark. This baby Jesus is able to help you through some rough times. I did the best I could to tell you, you better find him right here in his house. These wise men, however, do not only exemplify finding the Lord, they are also a fine example of worshiping the Lord. After they found him, the Bible says they bowed down and worshiped him. Pronoun him is a reference to Jesus, not to Joseph. It doesn't say to them, Mary and Jesus. No, it is him. Who did the wise men worship? They worship the Lord. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? You know, there are those who come to church and they engage in worship. But there is a concern about, are they worshiping the Lord? You know, it's possible to come to church and just go through the motions of worship without worshiping God. You know, Christians are not the only religion that worship their deity. There are others who worship their deity. Thus, you can engage in the motions of worship without necessarily pointing worship towards God. I wonder how many here today came to worship him. I mean, after you find him, you ought to enter his gate with a mind to worship him. I am concerned and conflicted and challenged by all that we have to do in the Lord's house to get people who claim they have found him to worship him. I'm concerned. Why do we have to have hype people to get us excited about this Jesus we have found? Why does the choir have to sing select songs a select way in order for us to worship him? When you have found him, you ought not need a band to worship him. When you have found him, you ought not withhold worship because you don't like the song that's being sung. You don't like the sermon that's being preached. You don't like the deacon that is praying. You ought to worship him because you have found him. And your worship ought not start when the music starts. You ought to enter his gate with thanksgiving. You ought to come into his court with praise. You ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. I said unto the Lord. You know, sometimes we act like we're making a joyful noise unto the pastor. So when the pastor is scratching where you're itching, you stand up and give me that little 10-cent clap. Thank you, pastor. Thank you, thank you. And then when the pastor slapped you upside the head, you sit here and pout. But my man, he ain't had to say it like that. Baby, it's never unto the pastor. It's always unto the Lord. When you stand because the choir is singing, you're not standing just to tell the singer you're doing a great job. You're standing to say amen to the lyrics, to the message. It's a worship service. It's not a talent contest. When children have talent contests in elementary school, you stand up to encourage them to sing their song well. You want to give them some courage. You want them to be bold in singing. Sing your song. But in worship, it's not a talent show. We came to worship the Lord. So we worship him in singing. We worship him in preaching. We worship him in praying. We worship him in our very presence. And those who have found him ought not have to be hyped into worshiping him. And while I'm here, can I tell you? You can't worship him the way he want to be worshiped until you find him. You got to be saved. Because the Lord don't just want worship. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're not saved, you're more concerned with tune than you are with substance. If you're not saved, the entertainment value is more important to you than the content value. That's why you don't care what the words mean, what the words say. You are excited about how it sounds and how it makes you feel. Baby, that's not worship, that's entertainment. Let me move on. I like these wise men because they didn't just have cheap worship, free worship. They didn't just bow down and say nice stuff. The text says, and then they opened their treasures and presented to him, their gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And what I like about this text is they wasn't even in the church building. They were in Joseph and Mary's home, but because it was an occasion with him and worshiping him, without it being on the order of worship, they just had a religious instinct that I ought to give something to make my worship authentic. I wish y'all could see how y'all looking at me. Some of y'all done already braced up. I ain't giving no more than I'm already giving. You might as well just move on to the next point. That's cool. When you get to judgment, just answer this question. What does Matthew 6:21 have to do with your worship? Matthew 6:21 says that where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. So it's one thing to shout, make noise, move around and worship, but it's another thing for it to come from the heart. The book says the measure of it being heartfelt is that it causes you to give. And when you want a case study in love giving, go to John 3:16, the one we always go to for give me. Listen to what love does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How can you claim that you love God, all to him I give, all to him I surrender, and can't even give him a dime out of the dollar he just brought you? These wise men, without being in the synagogue or the sanctuary, had enough sense to give God gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You've come to the sanctuary. Talking about you want to worship for free. Well, here's the last piece. It gets a little bit better. These wise men exemplify not only finding the Lord and worshiping the Lord, but they exemplify obeying the Lord. They received apparently a dream from the Lord that told them, don't go back to Herod, but go home another way. Bible says that they then returned to their country by another route. In other words, they obeyed him. Children, listen real carefully now. If you have found him and you worship him authentically, it ought to show up in how you obey him after the worship service. Can y'all hear what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying? Because we all profess to have found him. We all say we came here to worship him. But when we leave here, do we obey him as if he is real in our life? Can I tell you that obeying him, I'm thankful for passages like Mark chapter 12. Verse 29 through 31, it talks about these are the chief commandments. I call this the executive summary of God's will for his people. To love God with all of your heart, mind, body, soul, strength. Love God with everything. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Thus, when we talk about obeying the Lord, it comes down to, do we love him enough to not just worship and to not just give? But can I remind you that God has inspired this book that we call the Bible. And one of the best ways to demonstrate that you really love the Lord is to study and obey his word. His word has principles for every area of our life. It's not just a church book, but it is also a health book. For I heard the Bible say, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that means you ought to take care of the Lord's temple, the body that he's placed in our trust. The Bible is not just a church book, but it is a personal finance book. For I heard the Bible saying, if we would just trust him, he'd open the windows of heaven and pour our blessing. We won't have room enough to receive. I heard the Bible say, oh, no man anything except the debt of love. I heard the Bible say, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. Bible is not just a church book, but it's also a relational book. But I heard the Bible saying, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I heard the same Bible saying, wife, obey your husband as unto the Lord. I had the same Bible saying, parents, especially fathers, raise your children in the fear and admonition of God. Oh, yes, he did. The same Bible said, children, obey your parent, for it is the first commandment with promise. The Bible is full of principles for every area of our life. It even gives you principles for dealing with difficult people. I heard the Bible saying as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If she is thirsty, give her something to drink. In so doing, you heap coals of fire on their head. The Bible is more than a church book. It is an inspirational book. For I heard the Bible say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear when the wicked, even my enemies, come upon me to eat of my flesh? Y'all know what happened. They stumble and they fall. The Bible, it tells me, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Bible, is more than just a church book. The Bible is a prophetic book. For I heard the Bible say, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you until that great day that we meet in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, where God shall wipe all my tears away. Good morning, soldiers. I just wanted to tell you about these wise men. Example for us. If you watch them and live by their example, you will find the Lord. You will worship the Lord. You will obey the Lord. Now let me close by just telling you about my Jesus. I got a few minutes. Just be patient. I want to talk about my Jesus. I want to talk about the baby that's in the text. Now I know it's not really a Christmas story. If you want a Christmas story, you got to go to Luke and find the baby in the manger. Matthew is not really a Christmas story, for Matthew doesn't tell us about the baby. Matthew tells us about the child. If you want a Christmas story, you gotta go to Luke and see the manger. Matthew is not a manger, it's a house. Luke has the Christmas story with the shepherds. Matthew is down the line of time with the Magi or the wise men. But I want to talk about Matthew's child and Luke's baby. Do y'all have a minute? He came down through 40 and two generations. Came down from the right side of the Father. into a dirty, stinking manger for you and for me. How embarrassed I become when I complain about what I go through for the Lord. When I look at what he's done for me, there's no comparison with what he's done for me. He came down from the right side of the Father to be born in a dirty, stinking manger. They wrapped that baby in some rags. That's what swaddling clothes are. It was not a blue receiving blanket. It was just some rags they had laying around. They did not have a bassinet for my Lord, but they laid the baby down in a feeding trough. But that was all right. I said that was all right. Jesus knew it was only temporary. This baby, y'all know what happened. He grew up under the tutelage of men and in favor with God. And they tell me around 30, the baby was a full-grown man. Went out and preached. Oh, yes, he did. Love those who despitefully use you. This baby became a miracle worker. Made the blind to see. Made the lame to walk. This baby grew up, caught a case, and they crucified him. Oh, yes, they did. How ugly, how gruesome, how bad things looked on Friday. Oh, yes, they did. The blood came oozing from his hands, from his side, from his feet. Oh, yes, they did. But this same baby that they executed one Friday, y'all know what happened. Early Sunday morning, somebody read the story. Somebody heard the news. Early, I just want to holler in this part. Early Sunday morning, the baby got up with all power. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he did. Enough power to make my enemies leave me alone. Enough power to give me joy on my journey. Enough joy to pick up my head and look beyond the hills from which coming my help. But that's not the end of the baby's story. The baby did rise early Sunday morning, but that was not the end. They tell me a few days later he went back to where he came from, the right side of the Father, and there he mediates for you and for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the power of the baby. Can I tell y'all how I made it here today? This baby talked daddy into giving me one more chance. I wish I had a witness. You ought not ever think I got here by myself. It was not the bars. It was the baby. It was not my goodness. It was the baby. It's not because I'm so deserving. It's this baby mediating for you and for me. But thank God, one of these days, this same baby, he's coming back again. Hallelujah. He's coming for his church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for his church. And oh, I hear Paul saying, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be with the baby forever. Isn't that good news? I'll be with him. I'll be with him forever. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more goodbye. Yes. Mama and them would say, it's always howdy, howdy. And never goodbye. The Sabbath will have no end. Yes. Make sure. I said, make sure and very sure that you found this baby. Don't leave here thinking about gifts and thinking about Santa Claus. You better make sure you found this baby. It's getting late in the evening and the sun is going down. And the only thing that can help you at the finishing line is this baby. This baby, he'll give you joy on your journey. He'll give you peace when death is knocking at your door. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for the baby being real in my life. Oh, how you live beneath your privilege not to know this Jesus. I know you know where Southern Baptist Church is at. That's a good step in the right direction. I'm telling you, you can come in this building time and time and time again and never find Jesus. You're going to need Jesus when death comes knocking at your door. Your little church membership card is not going to mean very much at the judgment seat of Christ. Make sure you have found him. With our mouth we say yes, but with our lives we say no. Or maybe. When you've really found him, you can worship him every Sunday. You don't have to wait for your favorite song, your favorite sermon, your favorite prayer. You can worship him all the time. But worship is at its best. Not in here, making noise. Worship is at its best out there when we continue to obey his word in every area of our life. I pray and trust you've heard the word of the Lord. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today is a marvelous day to come and say, yes, Lord. Marvelous day. Come get yourself in church. Marvelous.